Well, I ask you to stand with me now as we share together in the reading of the Word of Yahweh. Our first passage, which is our preaching passage, will be found in John's Gospel, the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at the 10th through the 12th verses. John chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. Then we're going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse number 25 as our collateral passage. John chapter 18, verses 10. But before we read, please pray with me. Yahweh, the hour is come again that your son Yeshua, whom the Greek called Jesus, must be lifted up. For Yeshua said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I, Yeshua, will draw men or women, all boys and all girls unto me. So lift Jesus up again today. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall have come to a pause, may Yeshua be honored. May Yeshua be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen and amen. John chapter 18. Beginning with verse number 10. And it reads, then Simon Peter, doing what? Having a sword, drew it and did what? Smote the high priest's servant and did what? Cut off his right ear. What was the name of the servant?
His name was Malchus.
The servant's name was Malchus. Then said what? Jesus unto Peter, do what?
Put up
thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the what? The man and the captain and officers of the Jews did what?
Took
Jesus and bound him. Hallelujah. Now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 25. When you have it, let me hear you say amen. Let's read together. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do what? This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. The subject today is drinking of the cup. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Drinking of the cup. Beloved, our presence before this table reminds us of our Lord's immense passion for sinful humanity.
Okay.
Elder Landry, it takes us back in remembrance to the cruel and brutal yet momentous event that will climax or bring to its finish the decision made by our Lord to disrobe himself of his divinity. And for 33 years, clothed himself in vile humanity. To suffer, to die. The ever living, everlasting God to lay down his life in order to ransom us from the power, the pain, and the penalty of sin. I wish somebody was listening to me. This incomprehensible and unfathomable sacrifice of our Lord was measured without mixture in a cup of Yahweh's indignation. And to eternally free us, our Lord made a decision and was committed to drink of this bitter cup to its last drop. Oh, my brothers and sisters, he drank of this cruel, this brutal, and this bitter cup. And today, he commands us to drink of this cup, in memorializing and celebrating the cup that he drank. No, not a cup of the bitter wrath of God, but a cup of the sweet fruit of the vine. He says unto us, as often as ye drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. I declare to you today, my friends, that Yeshua drank of the bitter cup so that you and I may drink of a better cup.
Amen.
Walk with me through the teachings of our text this morning. And there we will observe four consequential movement that is a part of this last part, this significant part of the transaction to which Yeshua had committed himself for the redemption of sinful mankind. And I believe our observance and recognition of these consequential movements will help us, beloved, to appreciate the depth of our Lord's sacrifice in order for us to adequately respond to it. The first consequential movement is the devil's determination. Somebody say the devil's determination. What was the devil determined to do? Elder Manuska, the devil was determined to detour Yeshua from the plan of Yahweh. His plan was to detour and distract, disrupt the plan of Yahweh for our salvation, so that the plan may fail and be defeated. And from the time that Yeshua was born in the filthy manger in Bethlehem, the enemy of our soul did everything he could to turn and to this plan. And at this last moment, this 11th hour, if you will, of this transaction, he uses the misplaced zeal of Peter as an instrument of his war against distracting and detouring Yeshua from focusing and completing the plan. The devil's determination we see in John chapter 18 and verse number 10. The Bible reads, "And Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear." Simon, with his misplaced zeal, decided he was going to use carnal weaponry to go against the devil. Oh, but I'm so glad today, that he was not successful, and the devil was not successful, because Dr. Luke, in his redaction of this same event, tells us in Luke chapter 22 and verse 51 that Yeshua healed the wounded servant. He took his ear and placed it back, because 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 is true. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, beloved, but are mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so glad that Yeshua pulled down every stronghold. This brings us to our second consequential movement, and that is the divine discouragement and rebuke of Peter. Jesus, the Bible says, in John chapter 18, verse 11a, the first clause in verse 11, says to Peter, "Put up thy sword back into the sheath." In other words, Peter, this warfare is extraterrestrial. This warfare between heaven and hell is not an earthly warfare. It is a spiritual warfare, and it is fought in the spiritual realm, even though the consequences are terrestrial. Mm-hmm. Put up your sword, Peter. You can't do spiritual battle with carnal weapons. I wish somebody would hear me today. This brings us, beloved, to our third consequential movement, and that is the decision and commitment of Yeshua. What was Yeshua committed to doing it? What was this eternal decision, Elder Wilson, that he had made? He had made a decision to drink of the cup. Oh, Sister Pila, the Bible tells us, in John chapter 18 and verse 11b, Jesus asks this rhetorical question, "The cup which my Father hath prepared for me, shall I not drink it?" Oh, my friends, he was determined before the foundation of the world that he would drink of this bitter, this cruel cup, so that you and I would drink of a better cup. John the Revelator tells us about this in Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8, when he says he was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, Yeshua knew in his omniscience that after he created mankind, mankind will sin and mankind will go into degradation. And he could have chosen, beloved, not to create us, but he decided, no, I will create them, but I will give. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me. I will give myself for them. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This cup which my Father have given me, shall I not drink it? Oh yes, he drank it. He drank it, beloved. His decision and commitment to drink of this cup is written of by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6 through 8. He says, although he was God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being formed in a fashion of a man, he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, beloved, he drank of this cup.
Yes, he did.
His decision and commitment to drink of this cup is written of by the old Hebrew prophet Isaiah in 53 and verse 7, when he said he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and he was brought as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, yet he opened not his mouth. I stop by to tell somebody today that Yeshua was determined and committed and made a decision to drink of this cup, the cup which my Father had given me. Shall I not drink of it? Oh, yes, he did drink of this cup, for it, Isaiah writes in 53 and verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Oh, bless his name. And by his stripes we are healed. Is anybody feeling like a healed person? Oh, my friends, he drank of this cruel, bitter cup so that you and I may drink of a better cup. The sweet cup of the grape and the fruit of the vine, as we celebrate and reflect and memorialize what he did for us. And this brings us to our final consequential movement in this transaction, and that is the devil's temporary authority. The devil's temporary authority. The Bible tells us in John chapter 18 and verse 12, then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. What is the temporary authority of the devil? Beloved, the devil's temporary authority was to humiliate divinity. I'm going to say that again. The devil's temporary authority was to humiliate divinity. Oh, why was it temporary? Because he was only going to have that authority for 3 days and 3 nights. Oh, yes, for 3 days. Brother Pugh, he was given the temporary authority to arrest the creator of the universe. For 3 days and 3 nights, he was given, Sister Wheeler, the temporary authority to handcuff him, to bind him, to spit in his face, to beat his back till it turned raw, to put a crown of thorns on his brow, till the blood came judgment hall to another judgment hall. He had temporary authority to put a rock across on his back and demand him to go up Golgotha's hill. He had temporary authority to stretch him wide.